Parsha told us, we have Yitzchak Avinu wanting to give the bracha to Esav, his eldest son. Chumash tells us, Perek of Zion, and it came to pass when Yitzchak had become old and his eyes dim from seeing, that he summoned Esav, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he said to him, here I am. And he said, see now, I have aged. I know not the day of my death. Pasuk Gimel, now sharpen, if you please, your gear, your sword and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Then make me delicacies such as I love, and bring it to me, and I will eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die. Pasuk Hey, now Rivka was listening as Yitzchak spoke to Esav, his son, and Esav went to the field to hunt game to bring. But Rivka said to Yaakov, her son, saying, behold, I heard your father speaking to the brother Esav, saying, bring me some game, and make me delicacies to eat, and I will bless you in the presence of Hashem before my death. So now, my son, heed my voice, to which I command you. Go now to the flock, and fetch from me there two choice young kids of the goats, and I will make them delicacies for your father as he loves. Then bring it to your father, and he shall eat, so he may bless you before his death. Now, obviously, a lot of questions arise from reading these psukim. The overall question I'd like to focus in on is the question that many of the Mefarshim ask, articulated in source number 3. Lama yad tzarich le'elo matamim? Umay yitein umay yosif zel Yitzchak Avinu? Kadosh elyon b'rzoto l'varecha b'no lifnei moto? Eza sheichud yesh la l'bracha ela matamim shayad tzarich etzav l'avim? Yitzchak Avinu needs choice delicacies in order to bless his son? Like, Yitzchak Avinu is like, we almost imagine the Kadosh and Elyon, the one who's Nekad, the one who was sacrificed. He's like the holiest of the Avos. He's blind. And we know blind people, level of desire is so much diminished. Yitzchak Avinu is asking for these delicacies. And specifically, Le'etzik Nato, when you're old, the Shekvar Pasak Etzara Mimenu, the Etzara has already left him. What is this business that he's so keen on these matamim? In simple English, why was it necessary for Yitzchak Avinu to eat these delicacies in order to bless Esav? That's the question we're going to ask. Then when we look at this section, we almost wonder how Yitzchak Avinu, the details here, now sharpen, if you please, your gear, your sword, and your bow. It's as if Yitzchak Avinu is teaching him what to use in order to hunt this game. Like, isn't Esav the hunter? Why is he telling him this? And go out to the field and hunt game. And again, it's emphasized Esav went to the field. What's this business of going to the field? Right? Where else is he going to go? Right? Esav is an Ishtadeh, Ishtadeh Tzayit. He is the man of the field. Why the emphasis on that? And then when we look at Rivka Imenu, we see that Rivka Imenu says, go now to the flock and fetch from me their two choice young kids of the goats. So the first question we have to ask ourselves is, two kids? I mean, that seems like a lot to eat. Why is this the delicacies that Yitzchak Avinu wants? Going back to our original question, what is this with so much emphasis on food? And not only one, but two. And further, Rashi, a very interesting Rashi, Rabbi Miller brings in source number 4, Kasher Ahav, that he loves, Kitam Hagdi, Kitam Hatzvi. For the taste of goat meat is like the taste of the venison. Rav Seneca Cohen questions if the meat of domestic livestock tastes the same as deer. Why did Esav exert so much effort in hunting venison? He could have easily prepared a domestic animal for Yitzchak, an act involving far less effort. And what is this idea that Rashi says? And the first thing ask on Rashi, right, how do you know that the taste of the gdi, the taste of the goat, is like the taste of the tzvi? Like, what is this, a culinary course here? Like, what is Rashi really saying when he says the taste of the goat is a taste like the deer? This is what we all have to understand. My friends, we're going to try to take a look at it this way. Two levels focusing on Yitzchak Avinu, why he wanted Esav to go out, and then two levels focusing more specifically on Esav in this dynamic, and then we'll end with one final level, which is really focusing on either and yet on both. So let's start. The Sforno points out in source number 6 and make for me delicacies? He asked for the savory food that Esav should occupy himself with a kibud av, with the honoring of his father, and be worthy that the blessing be effective. So this seems to be the classic approach, that Yitzhak Avinu, knowing that Esav may not have been, you know, one of the Gedolei Hador, he needed some type of schus. He needed some type of merit in order to be able to be worthy of getting these blessings. That's understanding it on a very simplistic level. Let's try to understand this idea of kibud av, that Yitzhak Avinu specifically wanted this kibud av, and specifically in this way. The Chaim Moshe Rav Bick points out the following, and he says, the Medrash speaks about there were three that lived in this world similar to the next world. Hitmi'ana Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'olam Hazeh Me'ein Olam Haba, and they are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bakol, Mikol, Kol, which we speak about in benching. Here, Yitzchak says, Va'ochal Mikol, and I've eaten from everything. The tasty food that Yitzchak was speaking about was not like, oh wow, a steak, what a delicacy. No. He was asking Esav to prepare specifically the food that's Me'ein Olam Haba. What he wanted from Esav was to prepare spiritual food, to prepare the food that tasted like Gan Eden. Why? So you're right, on the one level, in order to give him the schus. Let's focus on Yitzhak Avinu right now. Why? In order to be able for Yitzhak Avinu to attain this high level of being able to feel like surrounded by Gan Eden. This is Vochal Mikol. That word Mikol is an indication that the food he ate was really a food that transported him into the next world. It wasn't just physical food. He felt the spiritual aspect of the food, and we'll talk about soon, Amir Hashem will develop this idea. And in that way, he'd be able to be on the state, in the mindset of being able to give a bracha. And this, my friends, is why Yitzchak Avinu v'lachem b'keish Yitzchak ma'etzav in source 8 l'achilu ma'achalim kasher ahev. Why the emphasis on food that I love? It's definitely not, you know, add some mustard and some, you know, garlic on the side. No. This is food that I love. They are ma'achalim shiuchal litom me'in olam haba. To be careful in the mitzvah of kibud ava, aim that he should be able to taste the food of olam haba. Why was this so? In what way was Esav able to prepare food that had the taste of Olam Haba? So, Rav Schwab on Chumash develops this idea. And again, he says in Source 10, I partook of all that Yitzhak meant to say, I've eaten of all the delicacies, when Yitzhak Avinu says to Esav when he came in, of the food that he ate from Yaakov, that were created during the 6 days of creation, and all the delicacies that are intended for the world to come. Again, why the emphasis on delicious food? So he says perhaps the sweetness that a tzaddik tastes when he eats is a sweet taste of kedusha that he detects in the food. And this is what Yitzchak Avinu felt in the food of Esav. He felt in the food of Esav that Esav prepared that there was the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. And that mitzvah of kibud av va'em, that love, that honor for his father, transformed, really, that physical food into a different dimension. If we just pause for 1 second before moving on, my friends. This is an idea that we've spoken about in the past, and I'd just like to remind ourselves of this when we always are looking for immediate practical lessons for our lives. There's an idea we've spoken about, and Masilas Bavavam brings in Sefer Vayikra, that the food that we eat, it's not just about the food that we eat affects us, you are what you eat. It goes much deeper than that. Who you eat with, who prepares the food, what they were thinking when they prepared the food, who served the food, all impacts the person when they eat the food. Right? The maisa of the Rosh Yeshiva who would only eat porridge, and the students had a rotation of preparing the porridge. And then once there was a boy who entered the yeshiva who said, who heard about this, he said, I am a master porridge maker. I want to make porridge for the Rosh Yeshiva. So they let him make the porridge, and then another boy presented it. Rishishiva puts the porridge in his mouth and he spits it out and he says, Raul, you're poisoning me. He tasted the gaiva. He tasted that feeling of supremacy that boy felt. I can make the best porridge. We, my friends, may not be aware of this, but our souls are aware of this. And Silpa Vavan says this very clearly. He says, if you wake up one morning and you don't really get a geschmack out of your Avodas Hashem and you have questions in your Amuna, and you're just feeling like down and not inspired, before you start wondering like what's going on, ask yourself, where did I eat yesterday? Who did I eat with? Who made me this food? And if we flip it around, as mothers who prepare food, this is our achrayus, this is our obligation, not just for Shabbos food, which we all know, we say lichvot Shabbos Kodesh, peeling every potato and putting everything into the oven. That's understood. We're talking about much deeper than that. We're talking about every aspect of that which we prepare. We're talking about every peanut butter sandwich that I make for my son when he goes to cheder, to yeshiva to learn. When I put that peanut butter on and I say, you know, I'm thinking about my son that they should, or my daughter, they should be matzliach in their learning, that's going to impact the child. That's what the child feels, whether they realize it or not. So when Yitzchak Avinu is telling Esav, I want you to do this to prepare the food, and yes, he's telling him to do this to be worthy of getting the bracha, it's much deeper than that. It's Yitzchak Avinu wants to be on a level, Mein Olam Haba, to be able to give over those brachas, and he needs that component of food prepared by the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em. When Rivka, and you see this by Rav Schwab says at 11, it's a gavaldic idea. He says, we know what was so special about Esav, that he wore special clothes in order to serve his father. Even when his father was blind and he couldn't even see the clothes, he was still wearing these clothes out of honor for his father. That was the great mitzvah of Esav. So now I understand, says Rav Schwab, continuing in source 11 and 12, when Rivka Imenu hears this, she says to her son, I'm going to prepare food. And Yaakov even says, well, hold on. You know, my father's going to feel me. He's going to see I'm a trickster. Says Rivka Imenu, don't worry. Because what is Yitzhak Avinu feeling in the food? He's feeling the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em. When you listen to me, you will also be fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em of listening to your parents. And that mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em will also go into the food. And that's what Yitzhak Avinu is going to feel. And therefore you don't have to worry that he's going to think that it's a different, you know, someone's been tricking him here. It's going to clearly, that's the component he's looking for in order to be on this high level of blessing. Rav Schwab ends this, I'll just make mention, where he says when Yitzchak Avinu sees that Yaakov Avinu is able to trick him and to be able to infuse in this food the same thing that he feels by Esav, he then realizes what Rivka was really trying to teach him, that he's easier to be fooled than he recognized, and indeed he's been fooled about Esav his entire lifetime. And this explains, says the Torah Tzvi Rosi Kushelevsky, he said, this is the idea of the focus on that my soul should be able to bless you. It means that just as a sacrifice sees the very nefesh or essence of an animal offered on Mizbeach, so too in prayer we offer up ourselves in connection with Hashem. And this is the same thing in a bracha. When Yitzchak was giving his bracha to his son, he had to elevate his nefesh so he could bring down and bestow heavenly blessing here on earth. This is what Yitzchak was doing. He's saying, I need help to almost enter into this different dimension, this dimension of Olam Haba, to be able to bless you in this way. And with this, the Ksava Kabbalah adds, it was for this reason that Yitzchak Avinu told Esav to bring food from the field, which was one of our questions. Yitzchak was not referring to any field, but rather to the field. Har Moriah, the place where heaven touches earth, right? Letzuch Basada, what field was that? It was Har Moriah, where Yitzchak went to Daven Mincha, the place of connection, and where the portal to all prophecy and blessing is to be found. Although Yaakov ultimately did not bring food from the special field, since he was wearing the clothes of Adam Arishon, the sweet spiritual smell generated the equivalent spiritual springboard to facilitate Yitzchak's blessing? And the answer, the above, helps us understand the true depth of blessing, and we can apply it readily in the realm of tefillah by seeing tefillah less as a daily ritual and more as an opportunity to focus ourselves and harness our strength to connect our souls to Hashem, to enter into that higher dimension. So my friends, let's understand what we understand so far. Why did he insist on bringing food? So yes, part of it is that it gives Esav a mitzvah. However, it's much deeper than that. He wants Esav specifically to prepare food, mikol, to enter into the dimension of kol, the entered dimension of Olam Haba, to be on this high level of being able to bless him. What would springboard him to that level? The answer is, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av HaEm was infused in that food, and he felt the Kedusha in the food, and therefore was transported to a different level, which Yaakov Avinu was able to do as well by listening to his mother. With this, my friends, we can explain on this first level why the Tamagdi and the Tamatvi are the same taste. We have, how does Rashi know this? So here we have Rabbi Miller in the Shabbat Shir, in the third volume, that when Yitzhak Avinu tells him to go out, he says, source 14, Yitzhak emphasized that all of Esav's actions should be directed to his father. It was because the food was prepared for the mitzvah of honoring, his father, that it contained the desired taste, the taste needed for Yitzhak to bless his son. And this is what this was the prerequisite. Now, Yaakov, in following his mother's instruction, would be performing the mitzvah of honoring his mother. It is this mitzvah which would inculcate the desired taste into the meat. The meat brought by Yaakov would have the same taste of Kibbutz Av HaEm as the meat brought by Esav, as stated by Rashi. The types of meat did not have a different taste. Yitzchak loved Esav's meat because of the Kibbutz Av it involved. If meat was prepared by Yaakov solely in response to Rivka's command, the food would have the same flavor, and Yitzchak would love it as well. What does it mean, the Tam Hagdi Katam Hatzvi? We're not talking about the food taste. We're talking about which is injected into the food that creates the reality. That's not regular food. It's food infused with mitzvah observance. That's what Rashi means. And the upshot for our lives is clear. Shlomo Melech tells us, "Behold, rachecha dayehu, in all our actions we should know God." Everyday life necessitates mundane actions, eating, drinking, sleeping. However, from this episode, we learn the secret of how to infuse holiness into every aspect of our lives. If we eat, drink, sleep only to enable us to serve God, each deed is elevated, for it has tam, reason. Tam gives taste. Our lives will be filled with a taste that is lacking in the lives of people who do not live in this purposeful manner. And this is the idea of what Shabbos is about. Shabbos is infused with this aspect of family time, of Kedusha, of Smiros. And our job has to be to infuse Shabbos with the time of Shabbos, and to be able to infuse our whole week from what Shabbos is about. This is our challenge. The Chidushei Arim in 15 states that the earth was given over to mankind. We're given the earth to elevate it into Shamayim, to transform it into spirituality. It is through infusing our every action with holiness that life becomes no longer mundane, but rather takes on a beauty and excitement, unfortunately unknown to many. You know, all of us have heard of this concept called the midlife crisis. And it can hit anybody at any stage of life, right? Sometimes kids are like kids, At 19, you're having a midlife crisis, right? Whatever. The mid of their lives is a crisis. It doesn't take much to have crises. Leave that aside. Midlife crisis, what happens? A person goes through the same thing day in, day out. You wake up, you eat breakfast, you daven, and then you eat breakfast. You check your mail, you check your WhatsApp, your WhatsApp again, You go to work, you go to school, you go whatever you do, checking your machine every, 30 seconds or so. You get the idea. And you live a life like this over and over again, day after day, doldrums. It's boring. It's monotonous. Like, how many days can you go through this? That's as if you have no taste. It would be like eating mashed potatoes the same day, and the mashed potatoes are made the same way. Well, now imagine if you would put salt on your mashed potatoes one day, and melt cheese on your mashed potatoes another day, and melt butter on your mashed potatoes a third day. And I know nothing about cooking, so you figure out the rest of the day what you're mashing into your mashed potatoes. That's what it's like when you infuse Yiddishkeit in what you're doing. I'm not just eating. I'm eating to be able to have energy to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then my food becomes a whole different aspect. Because today I'm going to serve Hashem in davening. Today I'm serving Hashem in chesed. Today I'm serving Hashem in whatever area it is. So my mindset is infusing it in a different way. My tefillah is different every day because I need to connect to Hashem in different levels. My learning is different because I'm different. When I come to my learning, it's different. And even the chesed in my family is different because I'm aware of it. I'm living with a mindset that's not just I'm going through the motions. I'm connecting to the Ribono Shel Olam what I'm doing. And that has the ability, the tam, the taste, to infuse meaning into what we're doing. And when I have meaning in those loads of laundry, then it's just not loads of laundry. The loads of laundry turn into chesed. The loads of laundry turn into opportunity that people love clean clothes to be able to feel good when they serve Hashem. And suddenly the laundry pile is the most exciting thing I've ever seen in my life. Like I approach it with gusto. Wow, another pair of socks to be able to pair together in order that this child or this husband be able to learn Torah and to do chesed and strength and feel good in themselves. It gives it time. It gives it meaning. And that's what our lives need to be about. That's the message here. Why is Yitzhak Avinu so keen on having this food? Leave Yitzhak Avinu away, leave him for a moment into our lives. He's teaching us the power of infusing something moving from this dimension to the next dimension, to the dimension of kol. And hence we understand the Mipis Sfarim V'Sofrim in Source 16, where he says, V'kasher ha-shechina shorah besuda shel mitzvah, ne'meret ha-bracha mevchinat shechina mitaber b'toch grono. You have the ability that if the Yitzhak Avinu was saying that if you hunt the food the way I've told you, with the kavana of the mitzvah to listen to your father, then you have created a sudas mitzvah. You've created a meal of Shechina, of Hashem. And Hashem's presence is going to come down. And it's as if not he is giving the bracha, it's as if Hashem is giving this bracha. And this is indeed, Chazal tell us of Vayberach Elokim et Yom HaShvi, that Hashem blessed the seventh day. The Medrash Reshit Rabbah knows, Berachu b'matamim. How did Hashem bless it? That we have tasty food on Shabbos. That the tasty food on Shabbos has the ability for a person, Yargish Adam Kedusha B'Nafsho, that a person can feel, same thing with Yantif, same thing with Sudas Mitzvah. You feel holiness in you. It's not just a regular meal. That is what Yitzhak Avinu was saying to his son. I need you to elevate me to a higher level. Now, if that's idea one. 1A, Yitzhak Avinu wants to be transported. 1B, which is similar to 1A, that's where we're grouping them together, is that it's not just about the Suda itself, it's about the mindset. Here the Ramban teaches us, ultimately Yitzhak knew that after eating, his soul would be content and joyous. The food itself would bring him to a level of simcha. And that as a result, the Holy Spirit would rest upon him. This is similar to the idea of Elisha. Now bring me a musician. That after the musician played, the Spirit of Hashem descended upon him. Note the Tar Tamima in Source 19, the Tiva Torah brings down. Mikan shemavarech tzarich liyo pesimcha. We see from here that when someone gives a bracha to somebody, it's an imperative that the person should be in a state of simcha. And he says this is one of the reasons why Minhag Yisrael is that when you go to a tzaddik, you give some type of pidyon, you give some type of money. Whether the tzaddik keeps it for himself or gives it to the aniyim, that all depends on the tzaddikim. But the idea of giving money is because we're human, we're physical beings, and we have to bring the tzaddik to a level of simcha, to a level of joy. V'lachin gam yameinu. One who comes to get a bracha from a tzaddik, you should make sure that the tzaddik is in a state of simcha. Just to add parenthetically here in 21 through 23, this helps us explain the idea of Birkas Habanim giving blessings to our children on Friday night. So we've spoken about the idea before, the Tiva Shabbos that Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz brings, that during the week, a parent may get frustrated at a child, may get angry at a child, it may raise kidruk, may raise an accusatory force against the child. When Friday night comes, which is an eight rutzon, a time of favor, and as Rav Biederman points down in 22, it's a time of simcha, we can be able to mitigate all of those kitrugim, all of those things that I said against my child, by giving them a bracha, and that offsets everything that happened during the week. And we dafka give a bracha on Friday night, because this is a time when the kedusha of Shabbos seeps into the person. There's a simcha here, there's a joy here, and that joy is a prerequisite in being able to give over the brachas. Now, the obvious question we may ask ourselves, my friends, on this level is, just add one more idea before we ask the obvious question. There's a very interesting piece that Tava Das brings down. He says, in the Moshav Zakeni Balei Atosos, he says, this perhaps is one of the sources to Lidrosh B'Simchat Mitzvah, to give a drasha in a simcha of a mitzvah, bar mitzvah, any type of simcha, bris. People get up and they speak, and at the end of the drasha, they give a bracha. They give a bracha to the Balei Simcha. Why? Shasimcha Sharebeitz, Shashchina Sharebeitz Simcha, V'ru Lidrosh B'Simchat. This is the time where the Shechina is found. It's an appropriate time to say Torah and to give brachas. And he adds here, the Tavadas from Sturbach, Shlita, Umashman Midvarav, it would seem from what he's saying, Shadoresh Guf Haroi Lo Lachol, it would seem to make sense that the one who's giving the drasha should eat, because eating makes you feel good, and therefore brings you to a higher level of simcha, and therefore the Torah and the bracha will take on a different dimension, which is a very fascinating idea. You bring a Rav to a simcha, and you ask him to give a Dvar Torah. So generally, they come in and out, you should sit him down, give him something to eat, and tell them this time to das, there's an Indian that you should eat before you give the drasha. Maybe find out beforehand what they like to eat, make sure that it's there, and it really adds to the bracha, the level of simcha. That's me adding to the time to das, which is adding to the Moshav Zakeni Balei Tosfos. Okay. Then the obvious question becomes is the following. Ask the Imre Tal. Okay, I get it. This is Rabbeinu Bachaya as well. Ein kavanat Yitzchak b'shelat ha-matamim b'taneg ha-guf. We're not talking about here that Yitzchak Avinu wanted to eat because of physical pleasure, but rather so that his soul should feel joy and feel this oneg, feel this sense of pleasure. It's very hard to be able to break out of the physical kochot haguf, the physical aspects of our body, to be able to reach higher levels. So you have to be besimcha. That's why nevuah, prophecy, only happens besimcha. So whatever it's going to take to be in a level of simcha, that's what you have to do. So the question that he then asks is, Yeshli Tmo, however we have to understand. We don't find this in any other place. We don't see later that Yaakov Avinu, when he blesses his sons, he asks them to prepare food. We don't see in Birkos Kohanim in the Arab that that they're not even allowed to drink, right? In Simchas Torah and Chutz La'aretz, they usually just have Birkos Kohanim in the morning being yontif, because they're afraid that they're going to have kiddush, and if they drink any bit of wine, then they can't do Birkos Kohanim. Well, wine makes you happy. Well, if you're supposed to be happy, right, and Birkos Kohanim, we know in 27, it's not done outside of Eretz Yisrael because you need to be besimcha. So fakir, I should tell the Kohanim you should have some schnapps before you duchen to be happy. Why specifically is it that Yitzchak Avinu, we don't see this, Moshe Rabbeinu, before he dies, gives a bracha. We don't see him asking for this. So what was it about Yitzchak Avinu that he needed this more than anyone else? So again, one answer may be, as we saw, that Esav had to be worthy of this, and therefore he had to go through this, had nothing to do with Yitzchak Avinu, or to do with Esav, which is an approach. He says a little bit differently. He says, in 26, we know that the whole essence of Yitzchak Avinu was gvura, was inner strength. Umira Tagvura Yanav Simsum Vakbala. And Gvura, by its very nature, means moving inward. Lumat Midata Chesed Chinyana Lashpia, which is in contradistinction to Chesed, which is about expansiveness, about giving, about sharing. And we know the whole idea of bracha is inyanash ba'at v'hitrachavut. The idea of blessing is expansiveness. Yitzchak came, we therefore find, shabracha hefech midatel sheyitzchak midat ha'gvura. Why is it by Yitzchak Avinu we find this and not by the other situations? Because Yitzchak Avinu, so to speak, essence, who he is not aligned to the same degree of bracha as the other individuals, because his whole essence is about inwardness. Al Kain Kashir by Yitzchak Levarech, therefore in the hour 26, when Yitzchak Avinu is about to give a bracha, Nitzrachu ledavar chitzoni, he needs some type of external aspect, Shiviyehu liyidei ratzon abracha, that's going to bring him to a level of ratzon abracha. Mishum kach b'keish meitzav shifal pulo misuyamo b'chdei lachil abmidat hashefa v'chesed alav. That's why he asks Esav to do something that's going to then stimulate that bracha upon him, and that is indeed the idea of preparing this food. So, my friends, what we've seen very clearly is that this is on the side of Yitzchak Avinu. On the side of Yitzchak Avinu, we have the aspect of being able to reach this level of the next dimension. We also have this level of being able to have simcha and to have joy, and the physical enabled him to move to this higher level. Good. Now let's move to, and they're all really interrelated, into the aspect of Esav in particular. And this leads us to the idea that the Shirei Chumash Rav Volbi points out at the end of 28, and he says, Yitzchak ratza lekabel suda zu davka meisav, kedei shayidei ze yitkasher elav yuchal achar kach levarechoto. What was the mindset that Yitzchak had in mind while he told Esav to prepare this food? He was trying to create connection between himself and his son. And in order to be able to give a bracha, you need this level of connection. Rav Nissen Apert and Limanei Nissan brings here a beautiful idea from the Gra. Very, very beautiful imagery. The Gra was asked, 29, Maya derech lashpia al zloto. What's the dynamics to be able to influence others? And he responded, take a big cup and surround the big cup with smaller cups. And you pour into the big cup until it is overflowing. And then the overflow will then go into the smaller cups surrounding it. And he says that's the idea of bracha. Hamevarech hu bevchinat kos gadol malei v'gadush b'shefato. A person who gives bracha has to be overflowing, has to be filled with like this wine that is just pouring out. V'hamitbarech, and the one who is being blessed, has to be bivchinat kos katan, has to be a beit kibul, has to open themselves up to be able to receive, right? You can have the wine spilling out all over the place, but if there's no cups underneath to catch it, it's going to go for naught. And this is the dynamic here. Bracha is melashon brecha. We know that bracha is an aspect of pool, of something that flows, of something that moves forward. What Yitzchak Avinu is doing here is he wants to be able to have this level of connection, that there would be this closeness between himself and his son. So, yes, he's asking his son to prepare the food. That's becoming that cup to be able to accept it, but it's more than that. He's telling his son, I want you to put the cup right underneath my cup. I want this feeling of closeness. I want this feeling of connection. And it's a sefer, Derek Cohen points out in source number 30, that nireshu kedei lekasher lechaber oto elav shiuchal levarcho. Usually, when a person blesses somebody, they're able to see them. And that itself, that seeing, creates connection, and that seeing enables the person to be able to bless them. I just had that this week. I went with somebody to an energy healer, and some people believe in it, some people don't. I hold by this person, an energy healer, and this person was talking about whatever the situation was, and then this person I went with wanted help for somebody else in their family. I'm being very vague here for protect the innocent. So they showed this person, this energy healer, a picture of this person, and it was scary how without ever meeting this person, and I know this person very intimately, they were able to read this person like, whoa. It was quite profound. And they said, like, this person needs a lot of tefillah, this person needs a lot of help. And it was very interesting. They said to the person I was with, can you bring this person here? And this person said, oh, this person doesn't hold by this at all. Like, for them to even agree for me to bring a picture, I would say to behind their back, that was like, whoa, they're never going to come here. And this energy person says, that's really too bad, because if I would be able just to look at this person, it would help so much in giving over bracha to this person. And I found that so profound. And this is exactly what the Adair Cohen is saying, that seeing somebody, that physical contact, looking eye to eye, creates that closeness. Yitzhak Avinu is blind, and hence Yaakov Avinu has to, you know, bring the grandchildren close so that he can feel them. When somebody is blind, when somebody can't see, so then you need to have a different medium of closeness. And that's why you see what Yitzhak Avinu does. He says, let me feel you, my son. There has to be this level of closeness, physical closeness. You have to put that cup right underneath in order to be able to be a bar bracha. And again, as the Pnine Das points out, v'lechein lo ratzal levarech b'li shtadlut mitzido, in order to have l'kasher nafsho l'nefesh mevarech, in order to have these cups come together, in order to have this binding together. You see this on Friday night, when parents bless their children, they put their hands on their children, on their heads, on their shoulders, they give them a kiss, they put them on their lap if they're very little. You need to have this physical connection in order for the bracha to overflow. Yitzchak Avinu isn't able to have that physical connection, so therefore he says, look, Esav, I need you to do your part, and I will do my part, and we need to connect together. We need to have this level of connection. Not just on level one, you prepare the food for me, and you invest, keep it out of our aim, and then I am elevated to this high, exalted level, and I'm able to bless you. No, on this level, Esav, I need you to come close. Not that Yitzchak Avinu is going to go way up there, but even if he does go way up there, I need you to be near my cup so that I can be able to be able to infuse on you. And hence the Ben Melech from Mintzberg in 33. When he eats specifically of the food of his son, that's why he emphasizes his son, that will bring connection. Why does he tell him to make food I love? He's trying to encourage this father-son relationship. So my soul can be able to be bound up in your soul and be able to bless you. And we see from here, my friends, that a blessing isn't just, you know, throwing out a blessing. A blessing, and this is the word nefesh, it's repeated a number of times in this section. The nefesh, the soul, the tzel melokim, which is what we skipped in source 23, has to be the one blessing. And in order for the tzel melokim, the godly part of us to bless, it has to be aroused. It has to feel connection. It has to feel this level of closeness. So on the simple level, in level number 2a, how was this done? It was done by being able to have him make him something. But it goes much deeper than that. Let's have, you know, in outlined style to a little one. He tells him to make him this Bikare Shmo Rav Birnbaum. He shivakesh mazulat she'yaseh lecha tovah v'yaneh mimenu. U'memele chiyuv hakarat atov yigrom she'yehov oto. So here he says it wasn't enough for him to what? To make him food. He wants him latriachoto. He wants him to go out and go out to the field and not take from the nearby, even though they may taste similar, the nearby pen. I want you to go out and I want you to work hard. Why? Because then when I see how much effort you have put in, so then I have not only love for what you've done, but I also have a karsato for what you've done. I have appreciation. And for appreciation, there is no level and limit. Shata te'anemi menu v'yavoi deizel karata tov ula avato. And this is what he wants. He wants to engender with himself love, and even deeper than love, hakar satov. This idea that Yitzhak Avinu is telling Esav, go prepare the food in order to make yourself a kli, a receptacle. Bring in that love and that connection. But not just that you're making me food, but that I'm going to be indebted to the food that you're making. And I'm going to appreciate how hard you work. And that feeling of Hakara Satov is going to be like the trump card to give you blessings with tremendous amount of love. Therefore, in 35, Lachain, Birkas Mordechai Rav Mizrachi, Kishalab Yirtzono Shel Yitzhak Avinu Levarecha Birkotav, Bikesh Lo Siv Kichol Afshar Mechuyavut LeBirkotav. He wanted to, as much as possible, to have Mechuyavut, that you have to owe it to me. And therefore, in 36, Hakarat HaTov, one who does a favor for somebody else, that is, Ukishichayavim Bechovazu Tumak Yirtov, when you really feel indebted to someone for something that they've done, and you're so appreciative, that is going to bring out the whole troops of love, of appreciation. I can't thank you so much, and I owe so much to you, and I just want to bless you, and I just want to, you know, say thank you, and the thank you is going to be heaped with blessings. That's what this is about. That's why Yitzchak Avinu says, and make for me the food that I love. In order to be able to have the maximal amount of tefillah that he'd be able to give him. And that's it. Gam et nafsho kipshuto chayavu lo. This is what it's about. The nefesh, the soul. When someone does you a favor, you owe him everything. Machalim elu eisa karata tov hema tereshim uchayavim ein lana musag. We have no idea. And that's why Yitzchak Avinu says to Esav, when he comes in with the food, he says, I just blessed Yaakov Avinu. I blessed him with the entirety of my being. Why? Because I felt so indebted to him for all the effort he put into this food. You have no idea of the depth of such a blessing. Let me pause for a moment, my friends. There's a beautiful vignette that I read many moons ago, so I can't tell you the details. However, the upshot I can tell you, and it struck me as so beautiful. There was once an elderly fellow, we're talking about a man, I think he was in his late 80s, if I wasn't mistaken, who comes to a kupat cholim, who comes to the health clinic. And he comes early in the morning, a la boker, when it opens, and he says to the nurse, will I be able to see the doctor and leave here by 9? So the nurse says, I don't know, depends on how many patients he has, etc., I don't know. 10 minutes later, he comes to her and says, will I be out of here by 9? And again, by 8:30, will I be out of here or not? And this nurse is wondering to herself, like, where is this elderly man going? Like, he's not going to work. Like, hello. So if it's 9:15 and 9:30, like, and she saw that he was really, you know, uptight about this. So she went over to him in a nice way and said, do you have an appointment and not that you have to be somewhere at 9 o'clock? And he turns to her and he says, yes, I'm so happy you understand. And she begins to converse with him and said, where do you need to be at 9 o'clock? And he tells her the following, my friends, listen. He says, I need to go to the old age home where my wife is. And I have breakfast with her at 9 o'clock every day. Really? Will your wife realize that you're a little bit late? No. She won't know the difference. She has Alzheimer's. She doesn't even know who I am. I need to go there at 9 o'clock every day. because I'm so filled with gratitude for everything my wife has done for me my entire life, that the least I can do for her is have breakfast with her every morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I don't want to be late. That's a karsa tov. That's understanding how much we owe somebody for what they've given us. This is what Yitzhak Avinu is teaching us here. Why is he making such a big deal? Go out to the field, and all of these details? Because he's teaching, Yitzhak Avinu is teaching us that when you ask somebody to expend effort, when you ask somebody to go out of their way, go out to the field, and take all your utensils, and really, I want you to hunt, and really work hard at this. Why all the details? Because then he appreciates it so much more. I know what you've been through. I know how hard it was for you. I know how much you had to put in. And all of that creates closeness, creates feeling of wanting to give, and that is going to be the tsinor, the medium to bring down blessing. Now, I think one other upshot for our lives, aside from the important idea of a karsa tov, which I don't even need to go into because it's so obvious, that anyone who's done us any favor, and particularly, you know, the bigger the better, how much we have to continuously show this type of gratitude, where you've seen the stories of rabbis who will go to children's, to simchas of their students, and these students may have gone to a shir klali, they're not even a personal student. You come to my shir, I owe you a karsa tov, I'll come to your simcha. We have no idea of the idea of a karsa tov. However, I think it also adds a dimension that when you thank somebody for doing whatever they've done, give a bracha. Because it creates this level of closeness, it creates this level of connection, it creates this level of joy, of appreciation, and that's when blessing is so effective. That's when you leave the physical and you enter into a higher dimension, and whatever blessing it is, be blessed. It's the overall blessing. And we should keep this in mind. So, we have the idea, my friends, on level one, that Yitzhak Avinu is doing this to enter into a higher dimension. He's entering to a higher dimension through the food being infused with Kibbutz Avayim. He's entering to a higher dimension through the simcha. And that when we understand that eating has the ability to bring simcha shel mitzvah, and that has the koach habracha. On the second level, is focusing more on the relationship between Yitzchak and Esav. That Esav has to come close to him. That there has to be this connection, particularly that he's blind. That he has to be the cup to be able to receive. And part of what Yitzchak Avinu asks him to do is that go out and do me a favor, and in that way I feel indebted to you, and that creates closeness. That creates level of connection. That brings the cups together. That will then facilitate a higher level of blessing. Now there's a second idea here about Esav. We know, as the Shari Chaim points out in 38, the bracha alone isn't enough. A person has to have some actions of working on his midos to accompany it. And note the Tiva Torah, that this is why he says, I'm going to give you a bracha lifnei Hashem, that he should do tshuva in front of Hashem. Here Rav Hirsch points out, Yitzhak wanted to bless Esav in the spirit of his future calling, just as he hoped that Esav's natural tendency would someday become a source of blessing and be used for exalted purposes. He also wished to see him in this way when he blessed him. The savage craft of hunting must be elevated and used for exalted humane purposes. For it seems that Esav did not usually hunt in order to provide a nourishing meal for his aged, feeble father. He enjoyed hunting for its own sake. Yitzhak therefore tells Esav, please, take your gear, hunt some game for me, and prepare a tasty dish for me, you yourself. This time, use the tools of your trade to perform an act of kindness for someone, to restore the strength of an old man. I want you to experience how good it feels to use one's own strength and skill to bring pleasure to another. And that's why go to the field that God has blessed, i.e. to agriculture, to the preservation and the prosperity of Jewish national life. Here, Yitzhak Avinu is focusing very much on Esav, not just Esav in terms of Hakarsa Tov, but Esav in terms of being transformed. That hunting this meat is meant specifically in order to change Esav, not to be a conduit worthy of blessing, as we saw in this morning, but actually change him, says Rav Hirsch, that he's be worthy of blessing. I'd like to share a gewaltig idea for Michal Tversky, again, this new Sefer Yoram Hayam. And this was the clincher piece that, you know, I usually find one piece that I fall in love with and I build a shiur around the piece. So here's the piece for this week. The Targum Yonasan says that why was Esav cool tonight? That night was the 14th day of Nisan. It was the night of Lo Pesach. It was the night where the bracha of dew comes down on this night. It's a night auspicious for blessing. And therefore Yitzhak Avinu wanted to use this night to be able to impact Esav, to be able to change. And this is why in Source 42 we raise this question, why is Rivka preparing two goats? Because one goat is for Korban Pesach and one goat is for Korban Chagiga. And this is why the Sfarim say that Yitzhak Avinu says to Esav, I can't eat of your food. I already ate the afikomen. I'm not allowed to eat anymore. And this is why Yaakov Avinu brings him the wine, which he doesn't ask for, the arbakosos. Okay, there's a lot of Torah on this. We've spoken about this in the past. If that's the case, so then why doesn't Yitzhak Avinu tell Esav, bring me a gedi? Why does he say, bring a tzvi? Why does he say, bring a deer? You know, hunt the animal. The animal is a deer. So he says something very, very profound here. He says, we know that the whole idea in Pesach Mitzrayim in Egypt, when they took this seh, they took this lamb, was in order to be able to kill the lamb. It's really eradicating the Avodah Zarah. What was their Avodah Zarah? They worshipped the sheep. And in their mind, worshipping the sheep means worshipping the mazalos, that all of who I am is under the constellations, right? I'm born with a certain mazal. You know, you look at your astrological sign, and they tell you the horoscope, and, you know, what can I do? The horoscope tells me I'm born under this sign. That was the mindset of Egypt. By taking the sheep and shechting the sheep and killing it, what we're saying is we don't believe in that mindset. We don't believe that we're fixed in a certain way. Yes, we may be influenced. However, we have the ability to change who we are. And therefore, the night of Pesach, every year, Mesugalim 43, L'chol Echa V'Echad L'Shlich Matzvo Azikei Havot A'avdus Kol Echad L'Fiyin Yanov Min Advarim Shemin Adam Nasim Avadim Lahem. Tonight is the night to break out of the chains of what you are enslaved to. Tonight, whether we have the Beis HaMikdash or not, is a night that you can free yourself from your own aspects of I am tied to, I can't possibly do. This is my nature. Esav was an ish yodei atzayin ish sadeh. It was a midah of gvura. And every midah has the ability to be used, this is 44, to the positive and the negative. Even a person who's a balgayev, even a person who's haughty, can use that vaybali bo b'darach Hashem, can be used there to be strong in their service of Hashem, to stand up for what they believe in. What Esav was being told tonight is, Esav, you have the ability to change. You have the ability to shech your avodah zarah tonight. Ulamatarazu 45, Shafat Yitzhak Avinu, Shiyasoki Shalon Esav. Yitzhak Avinu is saying, what is Esav's Achilles heel? Where is his problem? Mitam bezizato v'kolta rucho. He doesn't have any patience. Whenever he sees a taiva, whenever he sees a desire, he grabs it. And he goes from desire to desire. He doesn't even have time to think, should I do this, should I not? You can take this desire and be able to channel it in the positive way. And that, my friends, is the idea of Yehuda ben Teiman, 45 in the bracket, says, to be Azka Namer, Kal Kanesher, and Ratz Katzvi. You can be quick. Quick is okay, but not impulsive quick. Zrizos quick. You can be quick like the deer. And he's teaching him that there is an idea of using your mita. Your mita is a mita of quickness. I want you to take that mita, and tonight I want you to transform it. I want you to go into the field, and I want you to hunt for me deer. What does he mean by hunting for him deer? I want you to be able to hold on to that mita. Sheyachzik b'mita zu lishlot alav. To be able to shecht it, to be able to elevate it, to be able to make it yours. That's what he wants. In order to be successful, to be able to take this mita and turn it into a positive mita, he says, Sana kel yecha, tel yecha v'kashtecha. Take with you your utensils. You know what? A sword and a bow or bow. We see this in Parashat Vayechi, where Rashi says, Becharbi v'kashti. It is about bechokhmati v'tfilosi. Use your chokhmah, use your tefillah, daven. It's not easy to change a midah, but if you're able to use your wisdom and you're able to daven for something, you have the ability to do it. So when Yitzchak Avinu is telling Esav to go out into the field and prepare for him this Tzvi, this deer, what he's really telling him is tonight is Pesach. Esav, you have the ability to change yourself tonight to be worthy of blessing. You can take that mita of pizizos, of quickness, of not thinking, and turn it into zrizos, into quickness of kedusha, and be able to elevate it. And that, my friends, is what it means in 47, Tam Hadi Ketam Hatzvi, that the taste of the goat is the taste of the deer. They don't taste the same, no! It's not the physical taste of that cuisine, it's Tam Milashon Siba V'Gorein, the reason for the Gdi, the reason for the Korban Pesach, to be able to shech and to break out of that idea that we are locked into a certain character trait. The Tam Hadi, the Tam of Korban Pesach is about breaking that mindset. That's the same Tam as a Tzvi. You can change. You don't have to be the same. And this is the message for us, that we can know that we have the ability to change, that we have the ability to become different people. However, in order to do this, what Yitzchak is teaching you and me is you need the Torah and the Tefillah, Liyopi Yigia. That's the idea of going out into the field. You know what the field is about? The field is about hard work. Go into the field because the field, you have to work very hard. It's not going to come easy. It's going to be a process. You daven, you work hard, you're going to be successful. So second level, Esav, to bring close, Mesiris Nefesh, he's worthy of bracha. Much deeper, Esav needs to change. Going out and changing his mahos, taking that mida and turning it into the tzvi, turning it into the deer, being able to understand the message of Korban Pesach, the tamadi kama tzvi, that is what Yitzchak Avinu wanted Esav, that transformative process to make him worthy of the bracha. And as the Bekarei Shmo says in 49, when you really believe in someone and that they can do it, that also helps the process. Our final idea, my friends, why did Yitzchak Avinu want matamin? He's eating food, this is what he's interested in. So the very beautiful idea, and I'd like to just do it outside because the time is so limited, and then bring it to our lives. The Birkas Mordechai points out in source 50 that there's a difference. The Masil Sharm speaks about between Tara and Kedusha. A person who is Parush, a person who separates himself from other aspects, is Tahor. I'm not going to eat this food. He's pure, but he's not Kadosh. Kadosh means that I'm able to take what I'm eating and elevate it. When Yitzchak Avinu asks for food, what he's really asking for is as if he is the Mizbeach, and the food should be put on the Mizbeach. He's asking for a korba. That's what he's really asking for, which is like a combination of the first two levels. It's about Yitzchak Avinu making himself open to being a korban, a Mizbeach, and that Esav has to bring the korban that it can be elevated to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the idea that Chazal tell us, and this is 51, the Shirei Das, you bring a gift to a Talmid Chacham, it's as if you brought the first fruits. Because when you look at a tzaddik, you're not only looking at a physical being, you're looking at a person of Kedusha. And when you bring him food, you're bringing it to someone who's going to elevate it, and the eating itself becomes a different experience. But it's much deeper than that. Says Rav Pinkus in Source 52, She'inyan ha'achila hi'inikat chayim eina Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person eats, they're gaining life force from Hashem. When you eat, the food enables you to live, right? We know if I don't eat for like 5 minutes, oh my gosh, I'm going to pass out. It's very nice in doing mitzvahs, Torah, chesed, but you don't feel the same level of connection as you do by food. Food is netina yeshira me'boreis baruch. It's a direct aspect of Hashem. And therefore, when you eat and you enjoy this food, you come to a level of such closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Yitzchak Avinu wanted. He wanted Esav to bring him the food that he himself would turn into a korban. He himself would turn into a korban, a mizbeach, in terms of this closeness to Hashem. That at that moment, bracha and tefillah would just come from him naturally. And this is what we need to understand, my friends. And this is why I'm leaving it for the last level without any time to finish. 53 to 55. Each and every one of us needs to know that we have the ability to be able to create this level of connection to Hashem every time we eat. And this is one of the greatest pitfalls we fall into at all times. And this is the message of this parsha. When Yitzchak Avinu says, I want food, and we ask ourselves, oh my gosh, food, that's what you're interested in? Stop. Understand the power of food. Food is the medium that Hashem gives us to connect with Him. Mea brachos, 100 points of connection. Food is a time when we're opening that tzinor, that dimension of bracha into our lives. Therefore, my friends, if you want to bring bracha into your life, you want to bring blessing into your life, where you should focus in on is food. And that's why, this is where we fall into the trap. I see food, I just grab it, maybe I mumble a bracha before and after. Stop. Look at food as a point of connection. And I stop. And I say a bracha slowly and carefully. I've now opened the channel of connection between Hashem and me. And now when I eat this food not only nourishes me physically, the food nourishes me spiritually. It allows me to feel this level of connection. And then when I eat, I become transformed into this level. Kach mevurara machal minega leonet. Mishaol legan eten, v'shochano yachol l'shamesh kemizbeach, v'machalim ka'achilos kochim, the end of 55, that my food becomes transformed into holiness, that my table becomes a table that's a mizbeach to Hashem. We all have this capacity. What Yitzchak Avinu is teaching us is, it's not about avoiding food. Kedusha is about taking food and elevating it. And that's what he's teaching his son. Esav, I want you to know you're involved in the physical world. It's okay to be involved in the physical world. However, you have to learn how to elevate this experience. And my friends, all of us need to learn this lesson. Why was Yitzchak Avinu ready, needed the food in order to bless? Because food is that powerful conduit of connection to Hashem. My friends, all of us eat. All of us have this potential, powerful connection. Our job is to access it. Our job is to tap into it. Our job is to slow down. Stop. Say a bracha. Appreciate the food. Allow the food to fill you both physically and spiritually. And then you will see that the food has this transformative experience to allow you to feel this closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The bracha to Esav is not just a bracha to Esav. It's a way of our lives. It's a way that each and every one of us can be able to elevate our life experience and be able then to be filled with blessing, to be overflowing to those around us.